Welcome to Curaleaf, a medical marijuana dispensary. Whether you're a longtime patient or you're just getting acquainted with this incredible plant, Curaleaf of Pennsylvania is honored to guide you along your medical marijuana journey. Have questions? Google Curaleaf PA or stop by one of our 18 locations across the Commonwealth.
This is the Blue White Breakdown, the premier podcast for all things Penn State football.
Talk about culture. It's something that should show up in every aspect of your program.
It's the Blue White Breakdown, brought to you by Penn Live. Here are your hosts, Bob Flounders and Johnny McGonigal.
Hey, Penn State fans, how are you? I'm Bob Flounders. Johnny McGonigal is on with me for this episode of the Blue White Breakdown podcast. Penn Live's Penn State football podcast. Time to talk James Franklin's Tuesday presser with my man and one of the biggest Philadelphia Eagles fans in Pennsylvania, Johnny McGonigal. I know it was a great weekend for you on a number of fronts. I'm just happy to talk with you, and let's talk a little Penn State Northwestern.
Absolutely, Bob. Yeah, right after. I mean, look, your Cowboys got a good win, right? I mean, you know, it's against Danny Dimes, so it's I don't know how much that's worth to you, but you know.
Yeah. I'm in the same division with all these Eagles fans, and Dallas's offense is not ready for anyone of consequence. I think the game against Tampa Bay with Dak Prescott was revealing. They just really struggle to get to 20 points is right around that might be their ceiling. So when you talk about, I think they play the Eagles in 2 weeks, and it really doesn't matter if you have a great defense. If you can't score in the NFL, like, I think 9 times out of 10, you're going to be in trouble. So they had some success against the Eagles last year, but I don't think they have enough skilled people, and it could just be the Eagles' year, Johnny. So tread lightly if you embarrass Dallas in 2 weeks, okay?
It was a nice Monday Night Football showcase for Penn State football, though.
It was.
Parsons and obviously Saquon looking like old Saquon on that touchdown run. That was a nice little showcase.
Happy for Saquon to be healthy again, because, you know, his rookie year, he was great, but he's dealt with some, I know he had the torn ACL, and last year, I think it was in against the Cowboys, he landed awkwardly on his foot, and he came back and played because he's a tough guy, but he was not the same guy, man. But when he's feeling it and he's healthy, and he was, like you saw in that touchdown run, boy, he's an impressive guy. The Giants are much improved. I think the Redskins might just stink again. But Dallas, to me, I love watching their defense play. I love watching Micah play. He was sick. I don't think he was healthy last night, but they just are a little bit deficient when it comes to scoring points. So we'll see. But you're right. It was a marquee Penn State matchup. And I think both Micah, even though he was ailing, and Saquon, they didn't disappoint. Speaking of teams that do not disappoint, Johnny, they didn't win comfortably, I think, as Penn State fans thought they would. But, you know, James Franklin's got his team 4-0 heading into a home game against a prohibitive underdog, those Northwestern Wildcats. So, I mean, I think it's all systems go for 5-0. Did you see what I did there? What did you think of James's Tuesday presser?
Yeah, it was a nice little rhyme there. I was going to say, I feel like you said, you know, teams that don't disappoint. I feel like Penn State fans might have been a little disappointed with that Central Michigan win. But again, you know, you come out, you're 4-0, you own it to this Northwestern game as, what, 25.5-point favorites against the Wildcats?
Yeah.
A team that just lost to Southern Illinois. So you should be feeling pretty good going into a bye week with, you know, that gauntlet of Michigan, Minnesota, Ohio State on the horizon. But yeah, a lot to take from James Franklin's press conference, just talking about, I think the main theme of it was just him emphasizing the depth of this team. We saw in both games against MAC teams, we saw a lot of guys get in, and even in the Purdue and Auburn games, and there are 7 true freshmen right now that have already played 4 games. So if they play one more, they will not redshirt this season, because that's that limit, that 4-game limit. Drew Aller being one of them, and that's what I wrote about after Franklin's press conference, about the way that they've used him so far through 4 games. And he was asked about that, and he even mentioned, you know, previous experiences with backups, you know, going against Penn State. And he was alluding to that Iowa game last year and the backup quarterback not being ready. I think that's been a point of emphasis of this team across the board, to be ready in case a guy in front of him goes down. But with that gauntlet coming up in mid-October, if Sean Clifford gets hurt, Drew Aller will be more ready than you know, maybe more than people would have expected before the season, given his experience so far.
I'm always interested when James goes into detail about a question that a lot of people, not just the media, but the fans are curious about. I think Ben Jones actually asked the question and he asked it in the right way. He was asked about Drew Aller getting into play. And, you know, even before the season started, Johnny, James, you could tell James had kind of reshaped his thoughts on young players and emphasizing developing depth, even when the season's first three or four games were very challenging. You know, it wasn't like James committed to playing all of his guys and they had a very soft September. He said over and over, hey, we are going to emphasize building depth and at every position, and he's meant it. And when he answered Ben's question today, you know, he talked about at least three different I think factors that influenced him. One was, I don't know that James would ever say this on the record. I think what happened to Penn State at the Iowa game and then also at the Illinois game at the quarterback position, they also lost PJ Mustipher, but it was really Sean Clifford's injury. I think he was embarrassed by the fact that he didn't have an answer other than a banged up Sean Clifford to play against Illinois, and the backup he chose to play in the Iowa game just could not function. Taquan Roberson, they didn't really take a long look at the competition with Roberson and Christian Vayor, and it turned out that Vayor was actually the better prospect, and he actually played against Rutgers. But he mentioned that. I think he was a little embarrassed by that, and I think that shaped him. But he also acknowledged the climate that they're in 2022 with the transfer portal and trying to keep the roster happy if they can, if they're good enough. The third factor, Johnny, is that some of these first and second year players are just really talented, and you want to play those guys. You want to give Drew Aller, who's clearly the future of Penn State football, you want to give him a chance when the opportunity presents itself to get ready, because you know the future is coming very quickly at the quarterback position. But the depth at every position, there's such a much deeper team because they're playing these guys in meaningful situations, and I think it's really going to pay off for them during the second half of the season.
Yeah, I mean, you look last year, you know, in three appearances before that Iowa game, which was week six, Juan Roberson only had 23 snaps. Now four games in, Drew Aller into his Penn State career, 47 snaps and, you know, some good experience too. It's not like this was just against FCS teams or group of five teams. You know, again, stepping in for that series at Purdue, I think did a lot for his confidence early on, winning that backup quarterback job, you know, in the first place, right over Christian Vayor, getting in and really turned into be garbage time against Auburn, which, you know, again, leading a scoring drive, a field goal drive in that game. But, you know, it's not just Aller even. You know, it's Nick Singleton and Katron Allen at this point are co-starters at running back. You know, deny Dennis Sutton now has three sacks in his last two games. Zane Durant at D-tackle, you know, Amari Evans. Abdul Carter, you know, we've written about him, it feels like a bunch, right, over the last few weeks, how he's just been all over the place at linebacker. These young true freshmen, this top, you know, the 2022 class that was so highly regarded has a lot of talented dudes in it. And so they're going to get some playing time. And so I think you're going to continue to see that develop, and not just those guys. I think, you know, guys like a Caden Saunders and those guys, I think, you know, ideally, you know, they'll redshirt, but you know, if they need to use them, they will, because they are talented guys. And again, in this tough stretch coming up, you're going to need all hands on deck.
Yeah. And before we get to some more of what James had to say, you and I don't really get a chance to talk on video after games. And I just wanted to get your thoughts. You look at Sean Clifford's overall numbers this year, and it's really, really tough to find any fault with the six-year quarterback. I mean, one interception, maybe eight touchdown passes. His completion percentage, I think, is at like 64%. He's run for a touchdown in every game. He got up off the deck after one of the nastiest shots I've ever seen a Penn State player take early in the Auburn game when Owen Popoe hit him on that first series. He got right back up, was not the worst for wear. I mean, you look at those numbers and you're just like, man, he came back and he's making the most of his final year. But however, I don't know what you think, but I go back to, you know, the pick six at Auburn, and then I think it was two possessions after that where I think Penn State went three and out, and he just looked he did not look accurate. He got it back together on that last drive, and that second quarter against Central Michigan, where basically I think he started 8 for 8, and then he went 7 for his next 17, and with not very many yards, there were guys open, and he just. Either an inaccurate throw, he threw it over their heads, he threw it behind them, he bounced it. You know, they're going to have to play at Michigan, then host Minnesota, then they're going to play Ohio State. Can Penn State survive if Sean Clifford is a little bit off for like a quarter in any of those games? I just wonder about that. That's another reason why I think if you're Penn State this weekend and you get a chance to play number 15 in the second half, you got to take it, because I don't know against a better team if they could survive a bad 15 minutes from the quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, this has kind of been the Sean Clifford experience, you know, through four games. He accounted for, what, 5 touchdowns at Purdue, and yet almost, you know, he ended up winning you the game, but he also almost cost you the game. And so you come out of that performance and you're like, yeah, it ended great, but there was a moment there where it got really dicey. In the Ohio game, he took 3 sacks. Now, one of them I don't think was necessarily his fault. A couple of them, though, it's like he's holding on to the ball a little bit more, longer than he really should. The last two games, though, he's only taken 1 sack. That's one thing I've kind of been impressed with him over the last two games. Is he's getting the ball out earlier. His internal clock seems to be getting better, or at least it was better than it was against Ohio. The Auburn game, and again, it's weird, right? The Auburn game, he didn't have any passing touchdowns. But I thought that was, at least from what I've seen, obviously I missed some time here, but I still watched him watch him and Penn State from afar over the last few years. I felt like against Auburn, that was one of his best games in a Penn State uniform. He was in control. He was managing the game. He was making the right checks. He just seemed in command out there. Last week, you know, against Central Michigan, he has 3 passing touchdowns, no turnovers. And you look at that stat line, it's like, okay, that's what you want out of your quarterback. But I think I don't think he really passed the eye test against Central Michigan. Like, there were some throws, whether it was behind guys, at guys' feet. Maybe he was a little jittery in the pocket. You've seen ghosts a couple of times, the pressure that wasn't really there. Again, guys have to catch the ball too, because there were a few drops in the Central Michigan game, really back-to-back plays with Harrison Wallace and Mitchell Tinsley on that 3rd and 4th down that could have rolled into a 21-0 lead, and then who knows at that point. But I just think it's been a little up and down. James Franklin said today in his press conference that he's been impressed with how he's been limiting mistakes and stayed more even keeled throughout the game. But yeah, I mean, I don't think you can afford a 15-minute lull against Michigan or an Ohio State. I think you can. I mean, I like Minnesota. I've been higher on Minnesota than I think most, preseason and throughout the season. But I think in a whiteout environment, I think you could potentially get away with that. On the road at Michigan, I don't think so, and certainly not against Ohio State.
Yeah. One more thing I wanted to get to with you, not necessarily related to James's Tuesday presser. The longer Penn State plays this year, even though they are so talented on the offensive side of the ball at the skill positions, they got the veteran quarterback. I don't think they have very many worries at left tackle with Olufoshana, who's protecting Sean's blind side. I think that is a very much of a big deal, whereas last year, Rasheed Walker was erratic at best. He also got hurt. They have to feel a lot better about left tackle, and I think that is a big deal. Michigan killed them. Both tackles got wiped out in last year's loss to Michigan. But I wanted to bring up one thing, because I just think that if you're the defensive coordinator and you're going to face Penn State's offense, and you think it's going to be a game where maybe this you have a shot at beating this team, so obviously it's Michigan, Ohio State, right, and even Minnesota, cover zero. I want to bring up cover zero, because it was an issue against Central Michigan. They really struggled at times to run the ball until Katron Allen got involved. They couldn't. There were some times where even passing wise, it was a struggle. I thought against Purdue played some cover zero against Penn State. But cover zero is essentially there's no deep help. Everyone's kind of at the line of scrimmage. They're going to challenge all the gaps. They're going to challenge the wideouts. They're going to make it very tough to find some open spaces at scrimmage, but if you can get behind these guys or the running back can make a guy miss, it could be a long touchdown. So there is a risk reward there. But I just wonder about cover zero and kind of putting the ball in Sean Clifford's hands and saying, okay, you're going to be the guy that beats us.
Yeah, look, I think there were some commitment issues in terms of the running game. We saw that Katron Allen eventually got going against Central Michigan, but I think Clifford had 25 passing attempts in the first half. And so I think if you're Mike Yurcich, a part of you is like, yeah, they're playing this cover zero. You know, we have these opportunities, whether it's downfield or in the intermediate passing game. Let's take those opportunities and throw the ball. In an ideal world, in any game, you kind of want to get Nick Singleton and Catron Allen established early and often to kind of help you out in that regard, make the defense think about that running game a little bit. You know, in terms of the pass protection, yeah, Olu Fashanu was really impressed me. I think they missed Hunter Norzad being able to rotate in. He dressed but did not play against the Chips. I just like saying the Chips.
I know you do.
It's great. So that I think that had a little bit of a factor. The tight ends as well, you know, they blocked really well against Auburn. I don't think they blocked as well against Central Michigan. But, yeah, these are things that, you know, you don't want to see on film, but at the same time, you'd rather them against a MAC opponent here before you go into this stretch, before you go into a bye week where you have a lot of time to sift through these you know, mistakes, whether it's along the offensive line or, you know, maybe that third receiver isn't getting open. You know, I know that Sean had some issues connecting with his guys. You know, even some of the passes to Parker Washington and Mitchell Tinsley weren't on point. But I think another issue here, not to go totally off topic, but I think it's kind of intertwined with all this, is the separation and the lack of production from a third wide receiver. We haven't really seen much out of Keandre Lambert-Smith after the touchdown. Harrison Wallace, you know, again, he had an opportunity to make a third down catch and move the chains against Central Michigan. He didn't take that opportunity. Brenton Strange at tight end has been really good for them so far. He's kind of been that third option. I mean, even really the top option in the red zone, at least two touchdowns against Central Michigan. But I think just a lot of it is, you know, whether it's Sean Clifford not making the right decision, the offensive line not holding up, the running game not being committed to, there's a bunch of little things that, you know, they can go into this Northwestern game against a defense that will give up some points and feel confident in correcting some of these issues.
Yeah, I think you make a good point, Johnny. You know, as much as Penn State talks about all these skill position weapons they have in the passing game, they don't really throw that much to their running backs. They can do it, but they really have not done it. And other than Tinsley, Parker Washington, who I think kind of got back on track against Central Michigan, and Brenton Strange, you know, the other guys, I don't know if they're pulling their weight. You mentioned Keandre Lambert-Smith. I think that Trey Wallace is pushing him. He did have some chances against Central Michigan. He did have a long catch. I think he had two catches total, but he did have a chance for another big play. His talent is very tantalizing. I don't know what the deal is with Keandre Lambert-Smith. I thought after the Purdue game, I thought that might have been kind of almost his coming out party, even though he had a drop in that game that really hurt. He's just been very erratic. He did throw a nice pass to Sean Clifford at Auburn. He actually hit Sean in stride on kind of that trick play. But Theo Johnson has played two games. He played a lot more against Central Michigan. I don't think he blocked very well at all against Central Michigan, and they're playing him in line, right? They're not really splitting him out just to see if there's a matchup issue there. We haven't seen anything from him or from Tyler Warren. Tyler had that big drop at Purdue from Drew Allar. So yeah, as much as they really like their depth at tight end and wideout, they've really only had really three guys, I think, step to the front, and I think they're going to need a couple more guys to take the pressure off the three guys that are getting the job done, because they're going to face some better defenses. And, you know, if these guys don't step up, Michigan's going to make life really tough, I think, on Parker and Tinsley. And they're probably going to be aware of Brenton Strange when it's in obvious passing situations. So are these guys going to come alive in the month of October?
Yeah, Keandre Lambert-Smith, we talked about him, right? He had four catches for 58 yards against Purdue, and he had a couple drops in there, so it wasn't a perfect game. But yeah, he had a little bit of redemption, that 29-yard or 26-yard catch and run touchdown bouncing off a guy. Since then, he's had five catches. So nine on the season, 100 plus yards in four games. That's not what you want out of your number three receiver. So maybe it is, you know, Harrison Wallace time, or maybe, you know, Theo Johnson will just step up a little bit more, get involved in the passing game, and we'll just rely on more two tight end sets to move the ball and move the chains. But I think you have to be encouraged with what Catron Allen showed in the running game. I do think that's a positive to take from the Central Michigan game. Nick Singleton had a little trouble getting going at a 21-yard run, which is nice, but otherwise he had 21 total yards on his other 10 or 11 carries. So a little bit of Saquon Barkley in him, right? The good and, you know, not so – I mean, it's Saquon Barkley, so you don't want to say it was bad. But you remember Saquon always tried to make something out of a run all the time, and sometimes he gets caught behind the line of scrimmage. Sometimes he gets caught 3-4 yards back. Catron Allen, 36 carries this year, has yet to be stopped for a loss. So I think that's good, though, that they're getting, you know, production out of both their freshman tailbacks, not just one. Two different styles, two different challenges to present to defenses.
This is the Blue-White Breakdown.
Welcome to Curaleaf, a medical marijuana dispensary. Everyone's journey is different, and we are honored to guide you to the best relationship with this incredible plant. Have questions? Google Curaleaf PA or stop by one of our 18 locations across the Commonwealth.
It's the Blue-White Breakdown here. I'm with Johnny McGonigal. It's Bob Flounders here. Let's talk two things that really made James Franklin, I think, smile and really something he really hung his hat on during this Tuesday news conference. Turnover margin, Penn State is number 4 in FBS. I think they're like plus 9, I want to say, or plus 8. USC, by the way, plus 14. They haven't turned the ball over once, and they forced 14 turnovers. That's pretty good. But the Lions' turnover margin, I think, is really, really stood out. The other stat that really jumps off the page, pass breakups or deflections, whatever you want to call them, 41. I think that's more than – it's number 1 in the country, and they have – such a deep corner room. They have safeties that can make plays on the ball. But those two stats, I think, really, really have helped define Penn State's unbeaten start. I don't know how sustainable turnover margin is. I think eventually Penn State's going to have more than one turnover this season. I'm actually pretty sure about that. I think the contested passes, I mean, it is a big number through 4 games. But, I mean, it really does speak to their aggressive nature. They're going to get called for some flags, but they can blanket receivers. They can run right with the receivers. They can give them zero room. And you're seeing that on a lot of passes. And I don't remember in my 21 years, Johnny, I don't remember a secondary with this kind of coverage. It really, really jumps off the page.
I haven't been around covering Penn State for 21 years, but I do remember the 2017 season when they had – that was the only time in the last 10 years that Penn State has had 60 or more pass breakups in a season. And, of course, that year they ended up winning 11 games and going to their 6th bowl and winning it. They had some NFL guys in the secondary, Grant Haley, you know, Amani Oruwariye. Joey Porter has the look of a first-round guy, right? He was a projected first-round pick before the season, and he's been kind of showing that. You know, Purdue tested him quite a bit, threw him like 15 times, and came away with 6 pass breakups. Ever since then, the last 3 games, PFF has him at 7 targets total. I mean, Auburn didn't even bother. And they're looking at Kalen King, who was the highest graded PFF player in the country this past weekend after having 4 pass breakups as well as a forced fumble and recovered fumble. So these corners have really impressed. You know, Marquise Wilson as well, Johnny Dixon, Zakee Wheatley's been all over the ball at safety, Keaton Ellis as well with some breakups. So I think that there's a lot to build off of, and it's not just the production thing. It's a sustained production thing. You know, the turnover margin, that might come and go. It's a little fluky sometimes, but pass breakups and that kind of mentality and that aggression coming from Manny Diaz's defense is a really good sign through 4 games.
One of the reasons I picked Auburn to beat Penn State was, you know, Penn State's greatest strength on defense is really via the pass. And I'm like, well, you know, what if Auburn just runs the ball 48 times at him and Bigsby gets 30 carries and they wear Penn State's defense out? It didn't really happen that way. They turned it over 4 times, but Penn State's run defense got the job done. But its sample size was a little limited. But I bring this up, Johnny, because not to dismiss Northwestern, but when they see Michigan and Minnesota back-to-back, those are two teams that I think the offensive coordinators and the head coaches are going to say, look, We're gonna do what we're good at, and that's run the ball either with Blake Corum or with Mohamed. I can never pronounce his last name, but he is a fantastic back, Ibrahim, the Gophers. And they put it on Michigan State over the weekend. That they are a physical downhill running team. And, you know, as great as Penn State's aggressive pass coverage is, you know, it could be more about the play in the front 7 and the ability of the safeties to tackle. I think eventually they're going to be in a game where they're going to see a really good runner get the ball 25 times and say, try and stop me in the 4th quarter.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about that secondary. Looking forward to that Ohio State game at Beaver Stadium when Jackson Smith and Jigba and that wide receiver core with C.J. Stroud, when they roll in and go up against Joey Porter, Kalen King, Jair Brown, that's gonna be a really fun matchup. But yeah, I agree with you. You know, the Michigan and Minnesota game, you know, Minnesota, Tanner Morgan, I think, is a good quarterback and can certainly test you downfield. And Penn State knows all about him from 2019 when Soraka was the coordinator. Now they don't have Tyler Johnson, Rashad Bateman catching balls for the Gophers, but Tanner Morgan's still around, still a good quarterback. But you're right, the Michigan and Minnesota's identity so far this season has been just running it down teams' throats. And I'm interested, to see how Michigan, how that running game stacks up against Penn State's front seven. I do like what I've seen, from, Hakeem Beamon on the inside. I think has been quiet on the stat sheet, but pretty apparent on the film when you take a look at it. Chop Robinson and Adisa Isaac have been getting after the passer. Their run defense will be tested, but Curtis Jacobs has, been playing like an all Big Ten type player, and Abdul Carter will have another game and a bye week under his belt by the time they go to Michigan. And I think he'll be a big part of that effort as well. So, certainly tests upcoming. But I think so far what you've seen from Penn State's front seven, I think it's been better than what I expected. I don't know about you, but that seemed like, especially the linebacker group, seemed like it was the question mark. And it really was the question mark as well as the offensive line entering this season. And like the tests have been the tests, but they've answered the bell so far.
I think another thing that could help Penn State's run defense is that under Manny Diaz, they've kind of changed up what they're doing with Jair Brown. Like Jair Brown last year, he had a lot of tackles and a lot of solo tackles, but a lot of that was when players had gotten to the second level or maybe in the passing game when he had to track somebody down. I think he's been much more active at the line of scrimmage. He's got three quarterback hits or three quarterback hurries. He got his first sack against Auburn, in that 70 DB package. They're really kind of using him more as a linebacker. He's kind of built for it at about 205 or 210. And I think that maybe he's another guy that could really help Penn State in run support if they're going to play him closer to the line of scrimmage. But it still makes for a fascinating matchup wherever they put Jair Brown. When they see Michigan and Minnesota back-to-back, I can't wait for that. I am dismissing Northwestern a little bit. They're 25.5-point underdogs. They've lost three in a row all at home to teams that aren't very good. It would really be stunning to see it still be a game, Johnny, in the fourth quarter. Was there anything else that struck you about James Franklin's Tuesday news conference today? He was asked about a lot of different things. If I could put you on the spot about beer sales, if you want. I don't know if you have a strong opinion. I know you're pro beer in general, but I don't know if you have a strong opinion about the fan base consuming massive quantities of alcohol inside Beaver Stadium on Saturday.
James Franklin didn't want to answer anything about that. He's like, I'm going to leave that to the athletic director. Going to leave that to the president. That's not my field. He even joked when he was asked about it today. He was like, on or off the record, you want my answer? But I mean, I don't have any issue with it. As long as people are responsible, and I understand some people having concerns about it. But in terms of looking across the country at other colleges and then being beer sales and stadiums being implemented, it hasn't seemed like there's been a massive crime jump or whatever you want to call it, citations or anything like that. So, yeah, I mean, the athletic department needs to make money. And especially if they want to, build, football player specific dorms and these other facilities upgrades, right? And keep up with all these things. So the money has to come from somewhere. So I don't blame them at all. One small thing, you asked James Franklin about Northwestern star tackle. And I think that's going to be an interesting test, for Adisa Isaac and Chop Robinson. So this upcoming weekend as well.
I'm looking forward to seeing that. I know this guy is a heck of a player. And I know that one of the reasons their running back Hull has been used as a workhorse, as a runner and a receiver, is I just feel like, if Northwestern does get into a third and one situation, I think I know where they're going to run, right? He just can't do it all by himself. But Chop Robinson and Adisa Isaac, these are two guys that clearly can play at the NFL level if they continue to develop. I think in a lot of ways, Chop Robinson, some of the things he's done that haven't showed up on the stat sheet, beating his man cleanly and getting the quarterback maybe to throw the ball or pull the ball down and kind of ruin the play. He has been, I knew he was a five-star talent. He's been one of their most impressive players. When they need a quarterback pressure, more often than not, he's the guy. When they turned away Central Michigan on a fourth down play in the red zone, he was the one that pressured the quarterback. And he was the one at the end of the Purdue game that finally pressured Aiden O'Connell and effectively ended that game. When he makes up his mind to rush the passer, boy, he has got an impressive, impressive get off at scrimmage. And they play him on both sides. So I'm pretty sure Adisa Adisa and Chop are both going to see plenty of Skoronski. I think it's going to be a fascinating matchup, Johnny. And just one other thing about the beer sales. I think Penn State effectively has priced out some people from having too much of a good time, right? I think $12 or $15 if you want to get a beer. I know they're not 12 ounces. They're a little bit bigger. But, I mean, you're going to have to spend a lot of money and essentially to maybe overdo it at games. And maybe a couple people can do that. But I don't know how many people can. Maybe it might be smart on Penn State's side to kind of just maybe price the binge drinking out of the experience, out of play at Beaver Stadium, because you're gonna have to bring a lot of money if you want to have a rocking good time. I think Saturday at when they play Northwestern.
Yeah, I think some of those students and young graduates who are coming back for a game will take a look at those beer prices and decide next week. You know, I think we're gonna slip in our flask still. Yeah. We'll pull a flask in our, you know, in our sock or in a hoodie, however you want to, you know, take care of that business. But I think you're still going to see some of that in the stands, whether that's students or young grads. But I mean, look, if they're going to make money off it, as long as people are doing it safely, that's all you can really ask for.
I agree. All right, Johnny McGonigal, you and Dustin Hawkinsmith will be back later in the week. Young David Jones and myself are going to do a podcast, and that'll be ready in a couple of days. We'll talk specifically about Penn State Northwestern, and I'm pretty sure Dave's going to want to talk about, is it Hurricane Ike? What's the name of this hurricane? Anyway, there is a hurricane potential, and so there could be some fallout Saturday at Beaver Stadium, but I'm sure Dave's going to give us an update on our podcast. I know you're really bummed you're going to miss out on the update on the hurricane, but I'll do my best to fill you in on Dave's thoughts on how bad the weather's going to be on Saturday. But right, Johnny, it's going to be a fun week. And then after that, we get a bye week. So I know you're excited about that. I'm excited about that. Penn State's trying to go 5-0. Real quick, you had them, they're number 11. Is that where you had them on your AP ballot, or did you have them a little bit higher?
No, I had them 11. I consider putting them at 10 or 9. But just the more I thought about it, just, you know, the way that Central Michigan game went, it didn't sit right putting them any higher than that. So I had them at 11. I think that's a really good spot for them. And this was in my mailbag this week. There are a few games this weekend, opportunities for Penn State to move up. I mean, NC State plays Clemson. So one of those teams are going to lose, two teams that are ahead of Penn State, some other games as well in the SEC. You know, that could bump a team or two out. Oklahoma State could lose and bump a team out. So I think Penn State is going to go into this Michigan game firmly in the top 10, whether they're 8, 9, or 10. But I think they'll be a top 10 team going into that game.
Let the buzz begin. Let the fan, especially if they wax Northwestern, right? And then they get the bye week to think about it. Michigan struggled a little bit against Maryland, so they're already starting to get excited. So let's just let it get really, really crazy by the time Penn State and Michigan kick off. Hopefully everyone will be, I want them both to be healthy, both sides to be healthy, right? I want both sides to give it their best shot. That's all you can ask for. But the funny thing is, Johnny, you're right. They could knock off Michigan, and that would be great. They would probably be 6-0. But there's no promises coming the following week, you know, if they put a lot into that game against Minnesota. And Minnesota's going to be unbeaten looking at their schedule. And then Ohio State, they're probably going to face three unbeaten teams in a row. That is no easy task, even if they do beat Michigan. I'm excited, though, for that stretch. I think they're going to be able to handle Northwestern. But for your first year back on the beat, Johnny, I don't know if you could have drawn it up any better in terms of where Penn State sits going into the meat of their schedule.
I brought the good vibes over from Pitt's ACC championship game, you know, appearance last year and all that kind of stuff, right? They won 11 games last year. Looks like Penn State might have an opportunity to do the same with the bowl game. So we'll see.
Unbelievable. All right, Johnny, take care. I will see you at Beaver Stadium. Don't forget his Blue-White Breakdown podcast with Dustin Hawkinsmith and mine with the one and only David Jones. You guys have a great week. Stay safe. Beer will be flowing Saturday at Beaver Stadium. You do what you need to do at the game, and we'll do the same.
This has been the Blue-White Breakdown, brought to you by Penn Live.